first. You're listening to the Habitology podcast with Melanie White, and today I'm super excited to be speaking with Christy Smith of Virtual Elves, and we're going to talk about how to take all of your administrative nightmares with the help of somebody else. Well, that's my words for it. Welcome, Christy.
Thanks, Melanie. It's really great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate your time. And can you give us a little bit of background about why you got into running a business with virtual assistants?
Yeah, look, it really started back, and I'm sure lots of people can relate to this. It started when I had small children. I was working in corporate, working very long hours. In fact, I was working for an agency that they had me as their business administration manager, and literally I was sitting there for 8 hours a day waiting for one or two couriers to deliver something every day. And I was twiddling my thumbs, and I kind of stepped out of that thinking, you know, it's just such a waste of a resource having someone just sitting there waiting for a courier for 8 hours a day. What could I be doing that meant that I didn't have to be in the office and that I could actually still support people by doing something from home, be with my kids who were just about to start school, and just have a bit more flexibility in my life? And so I did some research and found that in the UK, virtual assistants was a really big thing. It wasn't so big 15 years ago in Australia. And so I jumped on it and started working myself as a virtual assistant. And very quickly, my hours were full, and I realized that at capacity, I needed to grow and kind of look at doing things differently myself. So, yeah, grew from there.
Yeah, I can imagine that some people would like sitting in an office and being paid to wait for couriers, and some people would find that boring and perhaps not so
exactly. Yeah, and that was me. But I think from there, you know, what it showed me was what was really possible in the virtual world. I hadn't really thought about that. I think a lot of businesses in Australia hadn't really thought about what that would look like or how that would transpose when you've got tasks that you felt you needed to be at a desk, at a computer, with the program. No one had really started thinking cloud-based. Nobody had really started thinking about how they could maximize the person, but also maximize their money in a way that was more cost-effective for them.
So well said. And so I'd like to then lead on from that and ask you about, what are some of the things that a virtual assistant might do for a small business? What are some of the tasks that people might get them to do?
Yeah, so I think, you know, if you think in terms of having an executive assistant or a personal assistant, that's probably a really good place to start. So thinking about managing your diary, helping you with customer service, so screening emails and responding to generic emails, supporting you with research, bookings. You know, a lot of the time, coaches, businesses, people that have that scope to their work really struggle with keeping on top of that whilst they're out then delivering what they want to deliver. So thinking about that real, what things are you using in your business that could be converted to being cloud-based that you could then share with somebody who could manage that remotely for you? You know, Google these days, Office 365, you know, any project management tool, most systems that we work with are now cloud-based. And so it opens up to giving that. Marketing is a great area as well. So any avenue of marketing, creating your newsletters for you, you know, it doesn't mean that they have to think of the ideas or think of the content. That's your space. But for someone to actually prompt you, to keep you accountable, to put that content together and put it out for you. Social media marketing based off that. You know, marketing and communications is probably the biggest area that most small businesses fall down in from a consistency point of view. So having someone help you manage that is really important. Sales, another one, following up all your leads, helping you with lead generation, getting out there and looking on your LinkedIn and helping engage with LinkedIn potential partners. what else can we do? Web development, graphic design, you know, helping you put together your design pieces, courses, if you've got a course, helping you actually create your course and getting it online. You might be really great at creating the content for it, but not so great at building that course and managing the launch of that and so on. The list goes on.
I'm thinking, why do I even need to be here?
Yeah.
there's actually so many things that a virtual assistant can do.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you've got to be really specific. And I think, you know, it's really important to know what your area of genius is, what you do really, really well. Because once you work that out, the rest of it, as long as you can create a process out of it and show somebody how you want it done, the way that you want it done in a video or in a document, it can be outsourced.
Yeah, it's such a good point, is that the need to have clear instructions is so important. And I know I'm a very process-oriented type of person. So as soon as I figure out how to do a task efficiently in my business, I either write a checklist or I create some sort of a written or visual process. Some people do it in PowerPoint slides with diagrams, I've heard. Yeah. But that means that not only do you have that repeatable process documented, but then when you are ready to hand that over to someone, you just say, here. And I have a virtual assistant through your company, which is why I'm talking about this now, because I've realized the benefit of having somebody to help you. We talk through it in a meeting, and I might write some notes down for her, but then I also like to create a little Loom video so that my VA can look at that and say, oh, okay. And I can screen share and say, go to this website, do this, do that. And she can watch that video again and again and again.
Exactly. And I think the key thing here is if you do it more than once, then it's repeatable, right? So if you do it more than once, the second time, you should be recording that process. So like you said, either via Loom, which is a fantastic tool for creating videos and having a database really of training tools for anybody that you decide to hand it to. Mm-hmm. But also knowing that task, it might take you, you know, the same amount of time to show somebody how to do it the first time. Yeah. But then it's off your plate, you know, and a lot of people get stuck, mentally get stuck with, well, I can do it so much faster. Why would I get a VA to do it? The problem is if you have 10 of those tiny little tasks that, yes, you could do faster in your day, that might equate to 2 hours of your day that you could be spending on doing something else. And once you do hand that over to somebody, boom, off they go. They're doing it and you focus on other things. So we've got to get out of that. You know, we've all done it at the beginning of outsourcing and not understanding how it works. Got to lose that control a little bit and actually trust someone.
And I think there's another benefit too. It's not just the time that you save down the track, but there's also the mental space that you get back. Like for me, I know that I hate super detailed, repetitive tasks. And when I do those tasks, I've got nothing left for anything creative. Yeah. And a business is a creative pursuit. It's coming up with blog ideas. It's having positive conversations with people. It's being present with your clients. And if you've just had to do a pile of admin that you hate, then you're not showing up in the right mindset to do those tasks. So for me, there's the twofold value of all of the time that I get back, plus all of the creative energy that I get that's not being robbed by the boring stuff that I don't like to do or I'm not good at.
Yeah, and just remember as well that boring stuff that you don't like to do is somebody else's passion and what they love to do. You know, so a lot of the time we think, well, I don't want to give that to someone because it's mundane, it's repetitive, it's boring. Well, to somebody else, you know, that's something that they enjoy doing because they don't want to go into the deeper thinking, the creative thinking. They just want to come up to work every day, show up and do the tasks and move on because it's not their business. They're there to serve. They're there to make life easier for you. So we've got to remember that. Yeah, in the way that we think about it.
And I suppose the other thing is that we're actually providing somebody else gainful employment. Can you talk a little bit about that and in your business, what that means to you?
Yeah, look, this is the whole reason why I think I run this business now. You know, obviously when I started, it was about flexibility for me and my family. My kids are older now, so it's really different. And we have a team of 50 virtual assistants, mainly out of the Philippines. And what I love about that is that they work from home. We give them the flexibility of, you know, the same reasons why I started the business, to have their family time and not have to pay so much for travel and so on. And what that means for me is that we're putting food on their table, we're stimulating their economy, but at the same time stimulating our economy, because we're allowing small businesses to thrive by getting resources to help them to actually do the work that matters here. And I think from a cost-effective point of view, from a ethical, you know, beautiful way of supporting another culture, another developing country, it makes you feel good knowing that there's 50 girls and their extended families that are benefiting from that. You know, it's more than just us. It's more than just about us earning money. I've never been about just me earning money. It's always about, well, how are we affecting the communities that we're supporting and working with? And you can just see it in the way that they behave and the way that they value the work and clients that they get.
Absolutely. I mean, I know when I meet with my VA, it's once a fortnight and we have half an hour, and she's, you know, they've been in lockdown with the pandemic and she's staying at her niece's apartment at the moment. She doesn't have anyone she knows there, and she actually looks forward to our meetings because it's a contact point for her. And she, if I say, what do you like to do out of these tasks? She said, I like to do all of them. Yeah. Thinking, oh, thank goodness someone else wants to do that. And she's so thorough. Like, I ask her to do research and she does such a fantastic job of research. Yeah. And she's, if she's got any questions or problems, she lets me know right away on WhatsApp. And I feel so grateful to have such a diligent, thorough person working behind the scenes for me to make sure that there's this accuracy and this quality in what I'm doing, and also knowing that our relationship is really important to both of us.
Yeah,
it's just so wonderful. She's always happy, always upbeat. We always have a great banter, and she gets the work done. And it's just, yeah, it's such a rewarding connection.
Yeah, rewarding. It totally is rewarding. And I think, you know, the other thing that I think of when I hear that is, there's such a misconception around what a VA actually is in the marketplace, and definitely in the business world, until you've started working with some. And I think the misconception is, you know, that they're in a little sweatshop type situation, being paid next to nothing, and their English is terrible. So, you know, you'd only ever get them to do the really, really, really low level tasks. And it's so untrue. And I think, you know, those days of 15 years ago, when that potentially was the case with a lot of overseas companies, you know, exploiting them in that way, it's definitely the landscape has changed now. And we're tapping into really intelligent, very qualified, brilliant English, you know, and these women and men just want that flexibility to not have to travel to a big city to work in an office. You know, it doesn't mean they're not qualified and don't have the skills. So we're able now to say that work from home virtual assistance is a real industry that is thriving because we're giving them the opportunity.
Yeah, it's so fantastic. I love what you're doing in your business ethos. And what I really enjoyed and was really impressed by as a customer of your business is how you do the onboarding process. Can you talk us through a little bit about how you do that?
Yeah, I think the important thing for me, coming from a customer service background, was to make sure that we're holding your hand all the way through, because I know that when people first start outsourcing, it's scary. there's a lot of unknown, not sure how to move forward. So we take on the recruitment and screening process. So all of that is completely done so that you're not second guessing whether this person, you know, is dodgy or whether they've got the right skills. We bring that to you in candidate summaries so that you can actually see. So we do the pre-hiring. Once then they're on, you've done the interviews with them, the decision from our point of view, we want the decision to always be yours as to who you choose. You know, this is not a, we've got a VA for you and we're just going to plug and play. It's, you've got to feel that you can work with that person first. So we do that. And then the onboarding process is really, it's an onboarding discussion with me to walk you through what it means to work with a virtual assistant in the Philippines, what your expectations need to be of them and what our expectations are of you as a client as well for it to work really well. And we just sort of walk through the bits and pieces of what your first 4 weeks might look like and how you can prepare well for that. So I think it's that whole, you know, we'll hold your hand through the process. If you're unsure about anything at any point, you've got someone to talk to. So once you start working with your VA, you've got a HR department really that looks after you and the VA. And I think that's why it works so well for us, because when you go directly to work with a VA, you don't have that. You don't know that the VA is supported, that the VA feels like they're part of something bigger than just themselves. And I think sometimes it's scary for them as a freelancer to be working on their own, not have support, not have outreach, not have connection, just have you as a client without that, you know, company ethos behind them. So I think that's why it works really well with us.
Yeah, I agree. And I love the screening and the reports that you gave. I was able to look at their personality profiles and think which one of these would be a better fit for me, and then to talk to those people and say, yes, it's that one. I felt like that was, it gave me a lot of certainty that this was a good decision, firstly, to go with your company, with Virtual Elms, and secondly, that I had a pretty good chance of matchmaking myself with someone who'd be a great fit. And I'm so happy. What is it, 18 months later?
I know. And the time flies, right? Because you just, yeah. And I think you're right. It's, I think also when you have a say in the decision, when you're, but you're educated at every single step as to, you know, you, it's not as though you're making a decision based on information unseen. We're providing that information to you along the way. You know, we don't promise that it's going to work. You know, it's like hiring anybody. Everyone can look great on paper. Everybody can look great until they start working with you. But the process definitely helps in making sure that, you know, we try to get it right the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I suppose people are probably wondering, is there a minimum amount I have to spend each month? Can I afford it? And I think we've talked about the can I afford it bit. I suppose you need to have a certain number of clients and a certain amount of revenue in your business and tasks that need to be done to free you up. But what is the minimum that someone might work with a VA per month?
Yeah, look, I mean, we at our business, we have a 5-hour a week minimum. So that's kind of a standard that we've put in place because of history showing us when there's less than 5 hours, sometimes that relationship doesn't build the strength that it needs for continuous work long term. So I think if you can really, really commit to 5 hours a week of regular weekly work, so find tasks that are recurring, then that's going to set you up to give you someone who is committed, you know, in a way to what you're doing. You know, the ideal is that you get yourself to having somebody, you know, 20 hours a week on average, that, you know, as your business grows, they kind of support that growth with you. And I think a lot of businesses that we work with particularly, they'll either work with a specific VA and then they'll realize that there's another area in their business that they can actually tap a VA into. So it might be that you have one VA for 5 hours a week, but then you bring in another one for 5 hours a week to do something completely different in the business. Mm. So there's lots of options.
Yeah, good to think about that as having a mix of people with different skill sets.
Yeah. Important. Yeah, don't try and make one person that you have try and cope with everything, because they're usually not skilled in everything very, very well.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting. And maybe I could, just for people listening, wondering, well, what does this look like in a coaching business? I can give a couple of examples of what my VA is doing. I've asked her to, every week I have this podcast and I have a blog that's associated with that. So I upload the podcast. She puts the videos onto YouTube for me and does the little icon for those. She updates my register and puts hyperlinks in there of all of the episodes that I create. She also then uploads the blog onto my website. She also updates all of my website plugins so that the site doesn't crash or experience any malware issues. She also goes into my RecurPost account and publishes my latest blog and podcast on my different social media platforms. And she does research for me. I'm starting a new business at the moment in the menopause space, so I've got her going out and doing research on who's doing what in that space. I know that when we get that up and going, she'll be putting blogs onto that website for us as well. Mm. Also, I teach a business program, and I really wanted to consolidate the student guide and the workbook into one document. And I thought, if I do this first one, and this is what we had the discussion of yesterday, I can hand that over to her and say, for the other six modules, can you please integrate those two documents? I've been putting it off for months. It needs to be done.
Mm.
And by not spending that time doing that, I can actually work with more clients instead of saying that's going to take me 5 hours or 6 hours a week to do that.
Yeah.
I can be earning money in that time.
Yep.
Instead of doing that stuff.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's some great examples, such great examples. You know, that repurposing of content and, you know, doing things like that, just they sound fiddly, right? They're little fiddly things, and you know, instantly in your head you go, well, take me 2 minutes to do it. But it's the distraction away from the other things that leads you to then not focus on the things that are really important, right, that bring in the money.
And those things are stressful if you have to think about all of the things that you're not getting to do because of being too busy or having other things going on. That's a stress load that builds up. So being able to clear the decks is so valuable.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
That's just a few of the things she's doing. I'm already thinking of other things like updating my LinkedIn profile and lots of other stuff that she's doing. And she prompts me, have you done these photos yet, or have you got that yet? And I'm going, oh. She's also, as you mentioned before, helping someone to stay accountable is actually a really important thing. And we don't often have those people to help us do that in our businesses.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Excellent.
Thanks for the chat today. Have you got any last tips or words of wisdom for anybody who's looking to engage VA?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the last thing for me to say is if you've even got an inkling that things are getting a bit overwhelming and you're not getting onto the things that you should, just explore it. Just, even if it's just a phone call with me, there's absolutely no obligation, but just have the conversation to find out what potentially they could do and what that would look like. Because I think if you can just be a little bit curious about it, you'll realize that it could change the way that you run your business, and you could change how fast you actually get rid of that stuff and actually grow and start to make more profit in the business. Because without it, you're just literally going to stay where you are.
It's so true. And in this series about business and revenue growth, it's all about what can you do to clear the decks and see more people and help more people, and freeing up some of your own time and energy is kind of critical in
that.
It's
key.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Christy. I'm going to put your contact details in the notes for this episode. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks again.
Thanks. See you soon.